last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. Genesis was the beginning, Revelation, the end of things here. Go into eternity. Revelation 21.
An angel shows John, the writer of the book, the New Jerusalem, the great city where we will be dwelling, coming down out of heaven, the dwelling place of the church, the bride of Christ. Revelation 21, verse 22 and 23. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. The temple, the Lamb is its light. We have an actual dwelling place in heaven called the New Jerusalem. The city was described in Revelation in Revelation 21, and it's further described here in Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The angel showed John a pure river of water, water of life, and it's proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Pure. All things in heaven are pure. It's all pure. The river of water of life. You know, when we're in heaven, we'll be saying, this is life. This is really living. It'll be wonderful. Life. Heaven is life. And this life proceeds from the throne of God, the giver of life. He gives life. Talks about fullness of life. Eternal life. Life without God is no life at all. But there's this river of water of life. It brings life. It proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb. A continuous flow of life coming forth from the throne of God. And a river right in the middle of the street. River of water of life. In the middle of the street, its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In Genesis 1, God created life, and God was in control. But man had free will, and man chose to sin, and death entered in. So this life is not proceeding from the throne on earth. It's man was created to be here for life, to dwell with God. But man chose to sin. And God provided, though, redemption to get back to that place where there's going to be nothing but life. And that's through the Lamb Jesus. And the life will never end. It's eternal. And we see the tree of life on each side, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and every month it yields fruit, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. In the middle of the streets of gold. Now, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's life, and life proceeds from the throne. And those redeemed will be with Jesus and experience this life. You see, those not there will experience death. Those unbelievers. In the middle of the street on either side was this tree of life. A tree of life in the New Jerusalem dwelling in eternity with God. If we turn back to Genesis chapter 3, guess what we see there? This is very interesting. In Genesis 3, verse 22, after man sinned, what did man eat of? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He chose to eat of that tree. Then God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Isn't that interesting? The tree of life was here on this earth. And man had an opportunity to eat of that fruit and would have lived here forever. We don't understand a lot of these things, but apparently there's fruit on these trees. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. You see, he said, if man eats of it, they're going to live here forever in a decayed state. So the tree of life was guarded. Now remember, in Revelation, there's a new heaven and a new earth. That tree of life is in heaven. And we that have tasted of that tree of life through Jesus will have eternal life. And that's the way it'll be. Man will live in fellowship with God and forever. There'll be no rebellion. Now, fruit was on that tree. We see that in Genesis. That it's a literal tree because he said, we must put something there lest he stretch out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So we get another glimpse of heaven. Eating fruit. You know, people could try to spiritualize everything, but it doesn't seem to fit with the words or with what God created in Genesis. It was literal because we know Eve ate the fruit and disobeyed God. And there was the other tree, the tree of life, and God says, I don't want them to eat of that fruit now, lest they would live here forever. So he guarded it from man. It's interesting what it's like in heaven, that there's this tree of life now in heaven that was on earth, and it flows from the throne room of God, and it bears fruit. So we know here that it bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. That's interesting. Every month bears fruit. Wouldn't that be beautiful to have a tree like that in your backyard? Wow. Every month bears more fruit and keeps coming. Now, does it mean the same fruit? I don't know. Wouldn't that be nice if it's different? But it's going to bear fruit every month. It'll bear its fruit every month. So it's incredible up there in heaven. And it says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word can literally mean care for or tend to or keep the nations or the people. See, there will be no illness. We read that. There'll be no illness, sickness, disease, death. So it won't be to keep everyone healthy. It'll just be for this caring for and tending to keep them, keep us in perpetual health. Isn't that wonderful? Probably all of us have something wrong in our bodies. It'd be wonderful just to have this perpetual health. Now, how this all works, what it looks like, we don't know. But we don't want to take away from the Word of God. We don't want to change it. We're going to get a warning at the end of the book about that. We don't want to change it. It spoke in Genesis of a tree with fruit. It speaks here of a tree with fruit and a tree of life with fruit. So it's going to look great. Now, verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There shall be no more curse. What is the curse? Sin. No more. No more curse there. That's why things are the way we see them today. If we look at Genesis 3, verses 13 and 19, you see the curse upon the man, the woman, and Satan, and the earth. Because of sin, there was a curse. But when we get to heaven, see, it's all pure. And it's all life, good life, eternal life, and no pain and sorrow or death. And so there'll be no more curse because sin doesn't exist. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There'll be service to the Lord. That's wonderful. No curse God dwelling with us, his servants serving him. In verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. We've seen that before. We have his name on our foreheads. We're his property. Now, we always think of heaven as not like things we see here. But when you read the Bible, we see people. There's names. God has his name on us. There's trees, river. So there's life similar to what we know, except we'll have new bodies, different bodies made to live for all eternity. We shall see his face. You know, in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So there's an answer to those that wonder, if you will. Verse 5, there shall be no night there. It's different when it's dark at 5 o'clock, isn't it? You change the clocks and you say, okay, it's great in the morning, but boy, at night, it's dark early. You're ready to stay in at 5 o'clock at night. Well, there's not going to be any night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever, happily ever after. When does it end? Never. It'll never end. That's wonderful. Now there's certain things we want to end. There, never end. How glorious. And he writes, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. These words are true. We don't go by feeling. And he says, they must shortly come to pass. Isn't that interesting? These things which must shortly come to pass. Well, that's been a long time, hasn't it? But he tells them even then, this must come shortly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So these words are true and faithful. We have to hang in there. But he says they must shortly come to pass. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So 2,000 years have passed since Jesus left here. I guess we can say, you know, it's been 2 days in the Lord's calendar. A day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. He doesn't count time like we count time. Shortly, almost 2,000 years have gone by. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 6. Find Hosea in your Bible. It's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. We see this prophecy in there in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. We're told here, come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. Isn't that interesting? After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Isn't that interesting? After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. You know, we just mentioned that because 2,000 years have passed in this church age, and now we're in the third day. On the third day, he will raise us up. Just put that out there. This could be soon in this time period. Then verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Again, Jesus said, I am coming quickly, but blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed are you if you keep his word. We will keep his word if we live as if he's coming quickly. We'll live differently than if we think, oh, he's not coming quickly. There's those people that say, oh, he's not coming quickly. You know, the things, we've gone through this before, we'll recover, things will change. Well, I guarantee you they're not living as he's coming quickly. You live differently when you believe that he is. We need to be waiting for his return. So, now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. This had to be an awesome thing for John to hear all these things and see all these things. He fell down to worship this angel. And what does the angel say? Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. There are people that worship angels, saints. They think angels are special. Well, we see right here, they have their place. John bows down and he says, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant. Isn't that interesting? They're servants. They're messengers. And of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, believers keep the words of this book. Worship God. Don't do that. I'm a created being. Only worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Don't seal it up. Don't seal this book up. The time is at hand. I want people to know what God is doing. It was, look in Daniel, what's done there. Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12. There he was told to shut up the book, but that's hundreds of years even before Jesus. And now we're like, you know, way thousands of years in the future, 2,000 years after Jesus. But in Daniel 12, in verse 4, you, Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book until the time of the end. He says, I want you to shut up the prophecy until the time of the end. And what is it going to be like at the time of the end? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That's a pretty good prophecy, isn't it? These people couldn't travel very far in this day and age. But he talks about a time when things will be revealed, when people are running to and fro, and knowledge increases. See, we have much more knowledge today. We know things, that things are out there. In this case, he was told not to shut up because it's time. It's coming quickly. Don't seal up this book, for the time is at hand. And then verse 11, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. What does this speak of? This speaks of one being fixed in the state once the Lord returns. There's no second chances. No second chances. While we're alive, we have to make our decision. We get our life insurance while we're alive. Because he was unjust, he's going to stay unjust. And who's filthy is going to stay filthy. But he was righteous, will be righteous forever. The way we are when we go is the way we're going to stay. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to stay righteous and we're going to be with the Lord. It's really saying there's no second chances. You know, like children, you say, you know, you're going to be punished. No, I'll be good, I'll be good. And you give them a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. No, the time comes, the chances are done. It's too late now. You're going to stay as you are. You're going to remain as you are. And behold, again, I am coming quickly. The Lord says, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. His reward is with him. Now, what is the work of God for believers? This is the work of God, John 6:29. In John 6:29, it says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's the work that we have to do. That's the work of God. And he's going to give to everyone according to his work. And then we read, of course, in Corinthians about rewards for the believer. 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15. Those things we have done for the Lord will last and will gain rewards in heaven. The things we did with wrong motivation will be burned up. There's no rewards in that. You know, and in Matthew 6, we read where don't sound the trumpet when you do something. You know, let everybody notice the good that you're doing. Do it quietly. You do it unto the Lord. We're not to let people know the good works we're doing. Our reward is in heaven. Verse 13, Jesus speaks, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He was the beginning, he's the end. Jesus is all we need. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So again, it's talking about born-again believers, the bride of Christ, are the ones that go into the city. Blessed are those who do his commandments, doers of the word, not just those that say it. A lot of people profess Jesus, profess to be Christians, but they're not doers of the word. And God knows that. You can't just say, I love you. That's easy to say. Does your life show that God is first? You know, blessed are the doers, the redeemed, those that are born again, that believe in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:21, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. The one who knows my commandments and keeps them, as we've talked hundreds of times in this church, love is action. Saying you love someone, saying you love God, doesn't do it. Your actions. What are your actions? You know, I talked about Pastor Romain before when I was at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and he would tell people, you say you love your wife, if I call her in here now and talk to her, will she say that you love her? He would ask the spouse if you love them, not the person themselves. He wouldn't ask the husband if he loves his wife. He would ask the wife if he loves his wife. You get it? That's how you find out. You talk to the other party. You do his commandments. James 1:22, be doers of the word. Don't be deceived. Now, outside the city are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I don't want to be in those company. We've read that before. Outside, those that are not going to be partaking of eternal life there, dogs, which means vile people, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. They're there. We're going to be with the righteous. They are in the lake of fire. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now, look what Jesus is saying here in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel, you know, to John to write these things. Why? To testify to you, John, these things in the churches. The churches should be teaching the book of Revelation. There's those that don't touch the book of Revelation. We are told right here the reason that Jesus revealed this, so that we would testify these things in the churches. We must go through the Word of God. We must read the whole letter in every book. That's what the Lord wants us to do. We can't omit anything. The Lord wants us to testify of these things in the churches. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. When it's revealed to us in a real way what it's really like, what it's going to be like, I think we can all say, come. Wow, come. And let him who hears say, come. We that hear this, that read this, we should be at the point of believing this and saying, come. Wow, just come, Lord. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Come and have life freely. It's freely to you. So we say, come. You know, let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 13. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whatever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. If anyone thirsts, let him come to Jesus. You know, that's what he said in John 7, verse 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus is the one that satisfies. If someone's thirsty, the place to go is to Jesus, and they can take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, if anyone adds to the things, God will add to them the plagues that are written in his book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Of course, because they're unbelievers. From the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, people would ask from time to time, does this mean we don't add or detract from the whole Word of God or from the book of Revelation? Well, we know we're not to touch the Word of God. The Word of God is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us, for our doctrine. It's a very serious warning not to take away or add to the words of this prophecy of this book. We're better off saying, I don't understand. When we don't understand something, we don't want to get too theological and work at trying to understand it. The Holy Spirit teaches us. We can just say, I don't understand it, but we'll certainly find out. And as you live, God reveals certain things to you. And we don't want to try to spiritualize things to fit in our belief. You see, now, what does he mean? This book or the Bible, the Word of God? Well, know this. The things that are written, the prophecies that are written in this book are the theme throughout the Bible. So it's the same thing. We're not to add to any part of it. Because we can read about Jesus, the Messiah in the Old Testament. We can read about the last days. The theme of the whole book is the same. So I would take it to mean all of it. Because Revelation covers a lot of things that are covered in other parts. And he's talking about the prophecy of this book. So I would say the warning is don't add or detract. Don't try to change it to fit in our new age, the 2000s. What is the book about? Jesus, God, and the end. And we're not to add or detract. And some people don't think it a big thing when they kind of come up with a new understanding of something. Well, then you're adding to it. Take it just the way it's written. There's a difference, we know, of the flesh and the spirit. And we can tell when we're in the flesh. We start getting into these disagreements or arguments or trying to prove our point or question someone. When we're in the spirit, we're kind of settled in what we believe because we're getting it from the Word of God. And we're kind of peaceful. Where the discussions get in is when someone tends to get in the flesh and try to interpret something their way. We're best off saying, well, I agree with your right to be wrong. That's J. Vernon McGee used to say, I respect your right to be wrong. But what we should do is just say, this is what God has spoken to me. This is the way I believe the Word of God is. It's usually in the simplest interpretation when we first get it, because we're probably open to the Holy Spirit at that time. And then the deeper you get in, you get to some real weird places as you start thinking about it and analyzing it. But we don't want to add or detract. We just want to take the Word of God and focus on doing it rather than discussing it. You see? That's the spirit. Taking the Word of God and doing it. Oh, I better go home and be a little better husband, or I better go home and be a better wife, or I better, you know, get into prayer more, into waiting on the Lord, or loving my neighbor, asking for forgiveness about what I've done over here. We're better off taking the Word of God and doing it, the parts we do know, and dealing with that. That takes a lifetime right there. No discussion needed. Just to do it. Just to live every part. And I'm sure God will bring up in our life every day things, that was wrong. I need a change. I need to do better at this. I need to be here, be there. And so doing the Word is what we should be focusing on. And then in verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly again. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was John's response. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. It's going to be wonderful. And then a wonderful benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace be upon you. And it was through Jesus. So Genesis, man was created. Man fell from God. Revelation, we see this new heaven, new earth. In between is all about God's grace, getting us back to our home in heaven. So, amen. We finished the book of Revelation. Next, we're going into 1 Peter. Now, let's just read something out of 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. It's about encouraging the saints that were going through fiery trials. And I think in our day and age, we can say, yeah, that's what I want to know. I want to get through tomorrow. And that he's encouraging the saints to stand fast. And don't think it's strange. You know, we go through some very serious trials, fiery trials. And sometimes we think, oh boy, no one understands what this is really like. Well, you know what? Everybody has their fiery trial. And we need to be encouraged to stand fast. And we're going to be partaking of what we just read about, Christ's sufferings. When his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that we leave here excited about our future. And Lord, we need to be washed in your word, our mind cleansed, our heart purified, so that we are thinking about things above and not about things on this earth. We are here for a short time, Lord. Help us to understand the reality of our life is heaven. That's where we're going. Keep us focused on that, Lord. Let us, while we're here, love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what you've called us to do. We do know that. There's no misinterpreting that. And we pray that we would obey your word and be doers of the word. And let the world see we're different. We're not like the world. We don't fit in. We're foreigners. We're strangers. We're citizens of heaven. We need that to shine in us, Lord, so that people know there's a way to stand through these fiery trials. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to do that, Lord, and be excited about living here with you and going to be with you forever. And we thank you in Jesus' name for revealing that to us. Amen.